First of all, we see no reason to doubt the accuracy of the forecast delivered to us in the last day or so. Assume it's realistic, and for all we know, things could be worse ultimately than what it projects. Just for a sake of perspective, please note that this forecast is almost $1 billion less than was forecast when the current budget was put together 18 months ago. So that's a big change, and one that calls for big action in response. We've been preparing for this are now going to take a series of actions to do what has been our practice to do. We will adjust spending to preserve a balanced budget in the state of Indiana. You're aware that we've taken some actions already in anticipation, a 7% cut in agency budgets. We delayed non-essential capital spending. We put a hiring freeze on, except for special exceptions. Today, I've ordered almost 50 additional actions that collectively will close this gap and preserve a balanced budget, if in fact revenues are going to slow down as much as the forecasters say. That'll include categories like a further reduction of 3% of agency budgets, extending that 3% reduction to grants and subsidies that the state provides. Capital and hiring will be put under even tighter restrictions. Out-of-state travel will be prohibited except by very specific exception. Regrettably, there'll be no pay increases in state government next year. That, of course, includes myself, but I've also secured commitments from the other statewide elected officials to forego their scheduled January increase. I've secured commitments from the judiciary and the legislature to secure their scheduled increase in July. And I want to thank all those people for their support of what is now necessary to do. I want to in particular thank all the state employees for terrific performance and tell them that we will try to resume compensation increases the first day possible. We will strengthen our performance bonus programs. We will continue them and strengthen them during calendar 09 because really outstanding performance must continue to be rewarded to state government, but there'll be no general increase. There are certain categories that will not be affected. K-12 distributions will be honored, every penny of those. Likewise, public safety will be left essentially unaffected. We will find some savings in Medicaid, but not one person will lose coverage. Infrastructure investments, which of course are not part of the general fund of the budget we're discussing now, will continue with no reduction or interruption. Lastly, I just want to point out that these are only the first and hardly the last of the hard decisions that will need to be made. And to understand that, maybe just one fact is necessary. If this forecast is accurate, the state will have less money available to spend in 2011, the second year of the budget we're about to write, than it believed it would have for 29, when the last budget was written. And so this means that the budget to come will have to be put together with more care and more protection of taxpayers than probably any we've seen, including those that brought us the balance in the last 4 years.
Governor, on the pay raise thing, I know that you and other statewide officials were supposed to see a small incremental increase, but legislators were supposed to get a huge one-time bump and then some incremental. Which one are you talking about that they won't get?
I think this is a policy that's being applied fairly across every category, and it's the 09 increases. Pay was realigned 2 years ago for the legislators, and in my view, that is their base pay. We're not talking about rolling that back. We're not talking about rolling back the judicial increases either that were done a couple of years ago. So we're talking about the increases that would otherwise happen in the budget year we're dealing with. And I want to thank them for their willingness to and the judges for their willingness to support it.
You said no one will lose Medicaid coverage, but are you looking at cutbacks in what will be covered under Medicaid?
Probably not, but you know, this is FSSA's challenge for the moment. But the reductions we've seen plans for so far does not include that.
Are there prospects for a tax increase?
Zero.
The Medicaid changes that are planned, do they include implementing co-pays or any of the other additional changes that were approved by CMS last week?
No, not the ones we've discussed so far.
What can schools look forward to in the future? Even if they get all that's coming to them now, might there be reductions in the next fiscal year?
No way to say with certainty. What they can look forward to is being seen as a very top priority of this administration along with public safety. And they can, I hope, look forward to some very effective action to spend today's tax dollars in schools better. 39 cents of every school dollar now gets spent outside the classroom. It's a huge opportunity to find more funds for what matters most. And that was going to be a point of emphasis in our legislative program anyway. It becomes even more important now. There is not going to be new money for anything on this forecast, and therefore we're going to have to spend the money in education and everywhere else better than we have before.
Are you still adamant about not spending into the surpluses?
Yes. You know, as I say, this forecast, as sobering as it is, we have no way of knowing that things might not even be worse than this. Look how much worse this is than the last time these same people, very expert people, issued a forecast. And so not knowing how deep or how long the global downturn might be, I think we're obliged to protect the dollars we have, and therefore future years.
What about higher education? That's not listed here in the area of state government. Not affected.
That's right, it's not.
So what will happen with higher education?
Some marginal reductions.
Do you know about what percentage amounts will be or what percentages?
Not going to go into those specifics today, but it is one of the categories that is included, as is almost everything else.
And so then you said that it will add up to enough to balance the budget, but we won't know today how it adds up?
That's right. I just want to stop today with the list of the categories. There are a lot of people to be contacted who deserve to hear about the changes as opposed to reading about them in the media first.
Do you know how soon it will be when we'll know?
Soon.
Is it safe to assume that once you make these cuts, that would be the new baseline for the next budget?
Yes.
And you said the gap to be close to $763 million. Is that what all these cuts will equal to?
Yes, just barely more than that.
Are any state employees going to lose their jobs?
No, not at present.
But is that stuff being contemplated?
No.
And how long have you been working on these plans?
Really, since July 1. We've said many times that we prepare for contingencies, so we've been carefully looking through possibilities and rank ordering them and estimating how much would be saved from each one, and therefore we were ready when we found out how big the target for savings was.
Do you think taxpayers in this general statement about how bad this is?
I can give them this statement. I sat in Philadelphia a week ago Tuesday with governors who almost without exception are in vastly more desperate shape than Indiana. Now this is serious and we have to take serious action right now, but we are in vastly better shape than other states who are already cutting education deeply, throwing people off the Medicaid rolls, letting prisoners out of prison early, and raising taxes. And we're not going to do any of those things, provided we can take the kind of measures that we're talking about here. I want every taxpayer should also compliment the Indiana General Assembly on the budget they wrote. Now, we're having to adjust that budget, but we don't have nearly as far to go as we would have if that budget had looked like those in other states, raised spending much more rapidly than we knew we could afford.
The things you list here that the budget actions already implemented, the 7% cuts in agency budgets, strategic hiring process,
right.
How much has that added up to in terms of savings?
Oh, a little over $100 million projected over the balance of the fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. So roughly 660.
$3 million to go, or is the $763 on top of what's
going on? No, it's inclusive of the actions already taken. And you can check with Ryan. I think it's closer to 100 than 200, the things we had already done.
Can you give us examples of what do these cuts mean? What isn't happening in state government that would have if you didn't have to make these cuts?
Well, it'll vary department by department, of course. We, in most cases, we'll leave it to the departments to figure out which things to part with. Now, we have been prescriptive about new hiring only when a good case can be made. Capital expenditures are going to have to be a great case, or we're going to wait a while. Out-of-state travel almost won't happen unless somebody's got a very, very promising and important errand to run. But in general, we're going to leave the prioritization to line management.
Would there be anything that the public would notice if there, you know, less upkeep in maybe state park campgrounds or less, fewer people answering the phone use it?
Well, I don't think so in the 7 months ahead of us. I can't tell you what may be necessary in the next budget. The steps we're taking here, we'd rather not have to take, but as I've been through them, we spent a lot of time on this. I don't believe anything truly fundamental will be either stopped or postponed. But times like this and issues like this do have the positive effect of forcing everyone to decide what is fundamental and what is merely nice to do.
I can feel my emails now.
Yeah.
They're going to say, if you could cut $763 million and not cut anything fundamental, why didn't you do it sooner?
Yeah. Well, we've had the tightest budgets in the nation and the tightest in Indiana history. That doesn't mean that they can't be on closer inspection, and we're always looking. Better yet, even in good times, we would be proposing to stop programs that can't prove they're working, and we'll be doing a lot of that in the budget proposal. But I'll guarantee this, there will be lots of people disappointed by these actions, and your correspondents will also be hearing from many people who are very sad that pet projects or purposes, public purposes dear to them, are being reduced.
Is the salaries the biggest dollar thing where you get the most savings from? And do you know how much
it isn't? It isn't.
What is the biggest area of the $762 million?
Oh, probably the reductions in agency grants and agency budgets, grants and subsidies taken together. We expect to find rather significant savings in Medicaid. They're not large on a percentage basis because that's the largest single expenditure, but we'll generate material dollars there.
Can you, just so I understand, what is an example of something, a grant or a subsidy that we might not do anymore?
Oh, there are a lot of grants for planning, community development.
Might they be grants to social service agencies?
Some
like
might be.
Women's shelters?
Well, I don't know about that one. So, I don't know.
What about the grant programs that you do at IEDC, like 21st Century Technology Fund, things like that? Will those be included in these cuts?
Unlikely. You know, those are direct job creation grants. And as a matter of fact, we had a board meeting today in a growing, thriving business that once got one of those grants and is adding high-tech jobs right now. So on a priority basis, something that goes directly to a company those grants only go to companies with a high likelihood, and by the way, a great track record we now see, of taking products to market and hiring people, that'd probably be the last thing we got to.
Going with the budget proposal, what is an example of a program that you might cut or zero out or consolidate in some way?
Wait for the budget proposal. You'll see them.
What is the footnote references $100 million in non-budgeted revenue? Is that the Racino money or is that from the sales tax?
No, it's not. It has to do with the DISH program in out of HHS and a couple of nits and nats like that, but Chris is back there and can give you the details.
Governor, what cuts were you not willing to make? What were your priorities to leave alone?
Well, as I told you, K-12 education, maintaining coverage for those now on Medicaid, public safety. Those are the three big categories that I took off the table. I hope we can keep them off the table in future rounds. But again, the policy of this administration is to protect taxpayers. And there's a lot of things, probably everything that will be affected by these decisions is useful to some extent and important to someone. And I'd rather we didn't have to touch any of them. But at times like this, when the most important thing is to protect taxpayers, protect the fiscal integrity of the state, your definition of what is absolutely essential, absolutely fundamental, has to be tightened up.
If your base going forward is the 12.5, does that mean then that schools will have to have less money in the next budget than they've got in the last budget?
No, not necessarily.
Somebody's going to have to have less money than the last budget, right?
That's called establishing priorities. There's a lot of government to prioritize.
So your priority then going forward would be if there's any increase that goes to schools?
I'm not saying what a first priority would be, but I think you can tell from this set of decisions that the first tier, the first rank of our priorities is education, health care for low-income people, and public safety.
Can they expect to be flatlined?
Too soon to say this.
What message do you have for local groups, be they local officials, legislators from different parts of the state who may have been thinking about coming to the state in the next session and asking for some money for whatever purpose?
To local officials, I'd say congratulations. You're in a lot luckier shape than the state is. The average local taxing unit and school is operating with this year almost 5% more money than last year. And the state is going to manage with, as it turns out, fewer dollars. So I recognize, I'm not saying their job was easy, I'm just saying it's a lot easier than the one we're doing. And I'd love right now to have 4.8. That's the number we have on percent more money as opposed to less. But you do what you have to do.
What are the changes that you'll be making in this office, in the governor's office?
We'll always operate as efficiently as we can here.
Are you anticipating or any federal stimulus coming directly to the state?
Yes, but we don't know how much, we don't know when, we don't know on what terms. And so we're not going to make any plans now or going forward that's based on what we know. What we know for sure is any money that comes will be temporary. And it may be necessary, for instance, to use that money for additional Medicaid applicants that we very well may have if the downturn is this severe. And so we'll deal with that opportunity if and when it comes, but we're going to have to make really the same hard decisions. Once again, I know for sure by 2011 any federal money will have stopped. And in 2011, these forecasters tell us, we're dealing with essentially the money we thought we'd have in 2009. So we have to plan on that basis and take the steps necessary to protect taxpayers when that day comes. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.